following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Great deals on gifts and smoking accessories can be found right now at Wizards. Check out the large selection of Woodwick candles with new lower prices, vaporizers, shirts, hats, and so much more. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards! Because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items. Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland. Greetings, salutations, hello, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland. I am your host. I've been sitting here for a while now, actually. It's been, how long have we been doing this? This is episode 162. 162 weeks I've been sitting here doing this. It has been a... always a pleasure to do it, of course. A lot of it is for me to be able to get some things off of my chest, plant them into your head, for whatever reason that may be. It's certainly an odd way for me to feel better, I guess. It's one way to look at it, I suppose. But, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of things, and sometimes it gets rather personal around here. As it does, and one of the things about this show is a chance for me to talk a little bit more about the ins and outs of the industry of which I am in, which is the broadcast industry. It's a weird, dark corner of the show business industry. And one such thing that does come to mind, and this is what I wanted to get into today. By the way, we got music coming up a little bit later on from Trash the Brand. We'll be here from Jackson, Tennessee, just up the road. We'll get to that later. What I wanted to get into, though, and this happened because first time in a long time, I was exposed to some television, some broadcast television. A couple of things, one of which is the state of the television industry as far as entertainment goes. Which we'll probably get into next time. But this time out, though, I wanted to get into not just television per se, but in broadcast. I'm talking about the advertisement end of it. That's how this business runs. It's based in advertisement. As much as agencies try and change that dynamic, it's still advertisement driven, as you know that. You know, if you're sitting there watching a show or listening to a show, there's ads in this thing. You're going to be exposed to a few moments of advertisement, and that's a good thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, and I think for the most part, people tend to be kind of okay with this. They're fine. They understand that's what helps provide this content. It's what pays for that. And when you have things like, like a PBS, for example, the Public Broadcasting Service, or NPR. It's getting liberal, bro. They, even though they're non-commercial, they still run a type of advertisement. And that's all well and good. That's what keeps it going. You're probably going to see more of it with public broadcast and NPR. Since it's that the fund of the government funding of it is apparently on the block, and it may not they may lose their money, so they may have to adopt a commercial attitude, which is fine, you know. And people, I think, understand this when they're into a show that they like, they understand that along with this content, it has to be justified in the sense for an advertiser to say, hey, there's some people that are listening to your show. We would like to speak to them for a moment if you'd like. And we would go, yes, for X number of dollars, you may speak to them for 30 seconds. And then boom, then a commercial happens. All right. Well, here's when that happens, it's a good thing, right? A commercial is born. So the client sits down. It would be the guy writing the check, the advertiser, and he wants to create. Now he's got 30 seconds to tell you about whatever it is that he wants you to know. So because there is so much advertising out there, you want to make your commercial as creative and as unique and as entertaining, perhaps, if that's the way you want to go with it. You want it to be an attention grabber because people have a short attention span. In 30 seconds, it can either be a lifetime or it can be the blink of an eye. So there's a certain art to it. There's a certain subtlety to it. Now, this is where things get a little, I don't know, misconstrued, because there are people, there are companies or clients, there are advertisers out there who have been in the game for a long time, and they know, they understand it. They get it. So they sit down and they say, this is what I want. Here's my script. We would like to have this music. We would like to do this, this, and this, and this. And then boom, away you go. And they want to do it as cheaply as possible because they are spending money for the time in said show, right? Makes sense. Until it becomes cookie cutter. Until it becomes, there's no, I don't know how you'd say it. There's no, they become bland. They become wallpaper at a certain point. They just become noise. And I think that's what has happened. If you haven't done so, spend a little time listening to Radio Memphis, where I work. Here's the mandatory plug. On Radio Memphis, every once in a while, in one of our commercial breaks, we run, for the nostalgia sake of it and the fact that they're really cool, commercials that were created and aired back in the 40s through the mid 60s, early 60s, somewhere in there. And the reason why, and some of these are products that are still out there, of course, but the reason why I run them, aside from the nostalgia sake of it, is that they're very entertaining. And so, well, why are you running an old commercial? That just seems sort of silly. Well, if you pay attention to them, you'll understand. These are very creative spots. They have, like, any of them that have a jingle, for example, is a jingle. This is the music bed. Is custom written and produced for that spot and for that spot only. It's a dying industry, really. I know a guy that's in the business of, he's a jingle guy, and it's barely a whisper of what the industry used to be. He's a musician, and his job is he sits down with a client and they write the tune together. They come up with something that's catchy and it's got, you know, a choir singing in it. It's part of the punch, you know, of, you know, your ad hook and all that fun stuff. It's all there, you see. Those days don't happen per se anymore. It's very rare. And because of that, these commercials, you'll hear music, say, you'll hear some type of a music bed in a commercial. And it's, you know, unfortunately in one ear and out the other because it was poorly produced. It's what the client wants, mind you. So the
customer's always right.
No, they're not, first and foremost. But 6 months later, you might hear that same song on a different commercial about a completely different product. That's because there is an interesting business that has become a thing of just creating music beds that are specific, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or full mixes. And a full mix might be a minute and a half, 2 minutes, something for you to edit with, I guess. I have a couple of those libraries that we use from time to time, because the clients don't want to spend the money. I mean, hell, we own a recording studio, for Christ's sake. We can sit down with a band and create an entire jingle with a choir. You can do whatever the hell you want, but the production costs of that become prohibitive to an advertiser. Well, if an advertiser is going to advertise the product, you want it done right. But apparently you want to cut as many corners as you can along the way. It's unfortunate, really, because when you hear those old commercials, like those beer ads and the beer jingles that came from the 50s, you are immediately hooked by them. And they were designed in those days to stick in your head. These guys that wrote and produced this stuff, they knew exactly what they were doing, and they were very good at it. I still hear the Schaefer beer thing plays in my head all the damn time, because it's And they had a great hook. It's the one beer to have when you're having more than one. It's a hell of a line. It's a great line. Somebody sat at their desk in 1951 somewhere. You know, the Don Draper type of thing. He's got him a you know, a cup. He probably had a six pack of that beer sitting there, trying to get into the mode of coming up with this line. That was his job, and he probably slaved over that line. It's the one beer to have when you're having more than one. He probably slaved over that line for at least a week. He probably had 19 different versions of it and took what he thought were the best three back to the client, or settled on that one on his own and said, here's what we would like to do. This is what we're going to do. And of course, the client at that time would go, well, that's just brilliant. That's why we pay you the money. This is wonderful. You're the creative behind this. This is what makes it work. We're going to sell a ton of beer, boys, because it's the one beer to have when you're having more than one. It's a great line. And then they paired that with this nice little jingle that goes with it. And then, boom, you have a commercial that still stands the test of time. It's still running 50 years later. We're running it. We're not getting any money from Schaefer. And I doubt they would give a shit that we're running it. I don't care. I'm one of these people. I really don't care about that kind of thing. If they were to ask for me to pull it, I would. But here's the issue. It points. I run those as sort of it's a little nagging reminder to the advertising industry. And I'm talking about agencies, advertising agencies, not necessarily the clients. The clients are just they're just people running businesses that want to push their product out. They may not necessarily be the creative type. There's nothing wrong with that. So you contract an ad agency and they develop a whole campaign for you, and it's radio and television and there's newspaper perhaps or a billboard or what, you know, that's what they do. And for the most part, they seem to do. No, they don't. Not for the most part. No, they hardly really do. You know, you'll see that because they have these awards ceremonies amongst. They have a thing called the Addy. And it's like it's a yearly thing where the industry basically awards an agency for creative use, and you know, hey, this campaign was brilliant. We're going to give you an award for it. That kind of thing. It's really nothing more than just a, you know, hey, here's a quick little hand job to show that this is what it is. Now I've seen some ad campaigns that have won Addies before, and I go, what the fuck? Why did that win? How could? There's nothing there. We've all seen those commercials on TV, too, where they run something for 30 seconds, and you're thinking, what the hell is this about? And then at the very last second, it's, you know, buy these pants. And that's what it is. And he was like, you just wasted 28.2 seconds. Not selling anything. And you might as well have just bought 5 seconds of time and says, buy these pants. That's really... It's nothing. It's a concept piece, and it's about the way the wind should blow between your knees when you're wearing these pants, and how sexy you'll look, and how you'll get laid if you wear them. That's what they're thinking. And the fact of the matter is, no. We in this day, this digital society, we have incredibly short attention spans. But we're also kind of hung between a rock and a hard place here, because as a content provider and as someone who allows advertising, you are automatically in the position of having to realize the old adage about the customer is always right. No, they're not. And I tell you that, and this is, I'm going to name a name here too, and this is probably not going to go over too well with some folks, but I was under the weather last week. I had some type of an infection or something, and I was just feeling just poorly. And I spent some time, I didn't feel like anything. I was napping all the time, just felt just like crap. So you lay on the couch, remote in hand, and you're just watching some television. So I wound up watching a network, I don't know who it was. And I caught a couple of sitcoms, of which I haven't watched in forever, and God, they were horrible. And I'll get to that later. Next week. I could talk a whole half hour about that. What struck me, though, were the commercials that they were running in these shows. And one of them is a local car dealership. It's Landers. They're a big deal here. Landers has, you know, they have, I don't even know their brands. It'd be kind of hard to remember since they're completely inundating the television with their name, and they do these bookended spots, and they're 15 seconds. It's fairly clever. And the idea is this: as soon as they go to a commercial break, the first commercial that you see is their first Landers ad. It's 15 seconds. And then at the end of the commercial break would be part two. It's a 15 second spot there, so they get their 30 seconds within that break, but they're bookending the commercial break, and you'll see that a lot with some products, and if it's done correctly, it's wonderful. The problem was that this particular station that I was watching hadn't sold any of the time, so what you got were like four or five of these Landers ads back to back to back to back to back. And it was like 2 minutes long, and they're, you know, car dealers, right? So they're screaming at you the entire time. For some reason, I've never understood this. A car dealership, you know, like, see your local Chevy dealer. Those guys, they don't yell at you. They look how sexy our truck is. Look where it can go. It can go up these hills. It can drive over bowling balls. It can do whatever you want it to do. And it's subtle, and it's nice, and it's these beautiful shots, and it's wonderful. And then you got the local guy, the local car dealer, the guy wearing the cheap suit with the product in the hair, and he screams the entire fucking time. You need to come down here right now and buy what we got and get to blah, 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 blah. And that's all you hear is just this noise. And it's these guys, and it's the same guys that do the ones for each car lot. And you can tell that they have no business being on that side of the camera. For a lot of times, they don't. They're not in show business, but I guess they feel like you should be able to trust this guy with your money and the fact that you're going to buy a car from this guy. So just the nature of car dealership advertisement becomes slimy, in my estimation, and you probably feel the same. And if you're in the industry, I make no apologies. You guys need to really sit down and give your product some thought. Because yelling at people is not going to get it done. I mean, yeah, it's an attention getter, all right, but there's a good way to attract attention and a bad way to attract attention. If you're making this much noise and you're screaming at people, I'm not going to come to your lot and buy your goddamn car. I'm not going to. The only thing that kept rolling around in my head while I was watching this was, quit yelling at me. I'm not feeling good right now. I'm laying here suffering, and you're yelling at me about your stupid car. And of course, all the fine print and all that shit, that legal stuff that they have to put in there. And that's all, yeah, but fine. They have to do what they have to do. And they're acting like they're all, like they care. We care about you and your credit. No, you don't. And it's just so blatant. But there's no thought that's ever put into this. None. Even the music that they use in those things hasn't been created for them. It's been adapted to fit it. See, now you go to an ad agency and they go, well, okay, what kind of business are you in? Oh, I sell cars. Okay, great. And they go into their little room over there, and then they've got a box that says auto dealer. And then they pull out that, and then they go, okay, I got sample scripts. I've got this done. I got this done. And we can just rewrite this and do this, and it'll take us 5 seconds, and we're all done. And then you've just paid a fortune for all of this. Oh, and looky here. We have a CD here of about 14 or 15 different car jingles that we haven't used in forever that we can license them over to you. And they pay a shit ton of money, you know. Oh, it's going to be about $1,000 to shoot the commercial, and then probably another, another $400 or $500 to get it edited, and we'll have to place it, and we'll have to pay X number of dollars every time it runs, and blah, 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 blah. And then you wonder at the end of it why nobody gives a shit. Well, quit yelling at your people. It's your potential clients. You got to hurry and get down here right now. We're blowing guys back here just so we can get rid of all our overstock for 2017. Oh, Jesus. The gist of all of this is simple. We have lost creativity because we've been too busy trying to chase the dollar. Give the client what they want, but steer them in the direction where they need to be. That's how I kind of like to look at it. You know, one of my favorites. And I mean this sarcastically, mind you, but one of my favorites is when the client runs his own business and he doesn't want a professional actor or a voice person to do their spot. So instead they bring in their grandson because he's cute and he's funny the way he says carpet cleaner. Come see my, come get my grandpa. He can clean your carpets. You know, and it's just like, what the fuck is this kid doing? He doesn't even, he's barely dragging his ass off the floor as it is.
He's like, oh, look how cute that is. I'm going to call them up because they put a kid up there to sell me some carpet cleaning stuff. No. No, leave your goddamn kids out of it.
Or another favorite is the owner of a business has a girlfriend who's kind of cute, but she's really trying to break it into showbiz. So she's like, I want to do the car commercial, or I want to do this. I want to do the commercial for, yeah, because nothing sells automotive maintenance like some moderately attractive broad who can't speak. And she certainly has trouble memorizing 30 seconds worth of copy. That's another pet peeve. You watch their eyes go back and forth across cue cards because they're reading their lines. It's 30 seconds, for Christ's sakes. You should be able to spend some time and memorize that and be ready to go. Look, I'm not the greatest guy that can memorize. I don't memorize it that very well at all. But if I'm being paid a talent fee and I'm going to give the client everything that I possibly can, I'm going to know the copy. I'm not going to sit there and go, oh, I'm just going to need a teleprompter or cue cards or something because I'm just here to look good, man. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You're not always right. Be creative in what it is that you're doing, and you'll find that you'll sell more stuff. Sometimes a slight, gentle touch is all it takes for your product to be sold to the right people. You know, I'm not knocking the advertising industry in general. I'm just talking about the creative here. Because, quite frankly, the creative sucks. And I'll tell you this. Everybody always, you know, rants and raves about how wonderful the commercials for the Super Bowl are. They have to be. They spend millions of dollars for a 30-second spot. It's the most watched television event of the year. And advertisers know this. So they'll shoot their advertisement wad on one 30-second spot. That'll be it for the year. And they've spent a ton of money producing these commercials. And I have to tell you, out of all the commercials that were run during the Super Bowl, not one of them were really that memorable. Can you right now think of one that perhaps you snorted at or thought was cute or was really brutal? You can't really think of one. You don't remember the advertiser. It's like the people that spend all this money on a wedding but don't invest anything into the marriage. It's the same thing. So yeah, when you watch this stuff unfold on television, television's bad about it because they're just so, I don't know, so hacked. Hackneyed. It's old hat. It's garbage. And it's never put out with the right intention. A lot of it is very narcissistic. It's a lot of these commercials turn into a look at me, I'm doing this type of thing. As though I should trust you. One of the other parts of this industry, which is really a shame, is the what they call a per inquiry commercial, which is there are companies out there that do this, and I've dabbled in it a little bit, and I have issues with it. This is how this works. They acquire your broadcast time, your inventory, if you will, and they'll say, okay, look, they need to acquire. I don't know, enough for five clients. All right, so you say, okay, I got all these times, and you give them the schedule. They give you the commercials, and you run them. You don't get paid, though, until the audience, somebody from the audience calls the 800 number that comes with it and then actually stays on the phone for, I think it's over 60 seconds with that person. And then you get the credit for that. How the fuck do you think you track that shit? Because you don't. You're advertising a product or a service without getting paid. Those people aren't calling that number. They're going online and they're searching what they heard on the radio or on television, and then they're getting about it that way. You just gave away your advertisement time. And there are agencies out there who really think that's the model. That's what we do. It's affordable for our clients because they don't have to pay until there's action on the ad. One of the agencies that I used to deal with that did this, they called me last week Hey, we're just here to do a little tune-up, see where you're at in our commercials and stuff. I'm like, I haven't run your commercials in a year and a half. Oh, okay. Listen, I got some new ads over here. We can get on your radio station now. What are you looking for? I said, I'm sitting there thinking the whole time. I said, what a moron. I said, let's play the game there, Herb Tarlick. I have an audience, kind of male, about 60% male, about the ages of 18 to 34, and 25 to 54, somewhere in there. Okay, I think I got something right from you. See here, I got this company here. They're a law firm, see, and they're looking for people that had a bad hip replacement. As I mentioned, sir, this is a predominantly male audience between the ages of 18 and 34 years of age. How many of these motherfuckers have had a hip replacement? Or a bad hip replacement, no less? Did you suffer from the ill effects of Viagra? Did you have a boner lasting more than 5 hours? You can sue. And those fucking ads, they're everywhere. So that happens. And they're like, oh, well, you need to run these things. And you know, these people will call in and they'll get some money and you'll get some. My people don't care about that. Are you kidding me? They're trying to get laid. Viagra's the least of their problems. Or a hip replacement surgery gone wrong. They don't need all that. Shit, half of them need rehab. Oh, God. People are just out of touch. They don't listen. They don't pay attention. What is your audience? What is your demographic? Male, 18 to 34. Okay, great. I have video games for sale. Perfect. I have a travel agency that can get you a deal in the Bahamas. Perfect. We have CDs for sale. Perfect. DVDs. Perfect. Hip replacement gone wrong. Not perfect. Go away. Stop it. God, people, learn the audiences. Learn the people. Be creative. And then advertisement becomes part of the game, you see. It becomes part of the content. Part of the entertainment value. Man, did y'all hear that commercial with that such and such? That was great. That was awesome. No, I missed it. Wow, man, you need to wait for it when it comes up. You need to record it. It's great. Man, that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate when that happens. But it didn't happen anymore because the people that are writing this stuff suck. Me included. And here's an example.
Anyone can say they're the best, and it's not easy being the best. Get in and see why Wizards is the best. Gifts and smoking accessories are on sale right now at reduced prices, including a large selection of Woodwick candles, vaporizers from Puff King, Grenco, Wolf, and Stealth Hybrid, shirts, hats, and adult novelty gifts. Say Radio Memphis and get an additional 20% off at checkout. 15 minutes from West Memphis, 1999 Madison Avenue in the heart of Midtown. Online at wizardsmemphis.com. Open every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 years of age or older to purchase smoking-related items.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
So yeah, I've been laid up on the couch there for a while, and I was watching sitcoms, unfortunately. Shows that I'd never seen before. And I was watching this, and this train wreck of a show. And they're supposed to shoo in these jokes, and there's these punchlines that were... And they were just... bad. You could tell that the audience that was providing the laugh track for this thing were being told when to laugh. That's not good. Oh, it was horrible. I sat there and cringed, and then they would run these promos. You need to watch this show. This is because this is the greatest thing on TV. No, it's not. It sucks. It's horrible. And you wonder why people are watching Netflix and Hulu, broadcast television. What the fuck happened to you? You used to be so fun, and it used to be so accessible. Now you just suck.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
First rule of making fun of anybody or anything is to be able to poke fun at yourself. And I sure as shit did in this one. And it's nothing. Look, Wizards is a great shop. They really are. I did write that commercial. Of course, it's me that's voicing it. And We're going through a rewrite right now, and we're doing some other fun stuff with it. But still, look, you know, they're happy with it. If they're happy, I'm okay with it. I'd like to see some other stuff, and I may do some more fun stuff with it. And you know, they're starting to let me take over a little more creatively with it, which is which is pretty good. But you've got to. You know, you got. There's a give and take. There's a little bit of that going on. But yes, I do recommend Wizards. They're wonderful people, and look for them. Look, Wizards Memphis. Search them. You can buy some stuff online. They'll ship it to you. It's good stuff. So yeah, I don't think they'll be too offended or pissed off about any of this business. So we can make that work. but hey, you know. It starts at home, right? You know, if you're doing stuff different from everybody else, because I'm not in an ad agency. I'm just a guy that sits here and runs my mouth and does other things. But I'm certainly not an ad agency, and I'm not that good of a writer. I know there's probably far more creative people than I am when it comes to this sort of thing. That's what they get paid to do, and I don't mind doing my part. But as an actor, you put copy in front of me, I can make it happen. I can sell you anything. I can sell you a set of used panties. Whatever. Hey, let's get into some tunes, shall we? Oddly enough, and this came up, this topic of this doesn't match the show often. I mean, it doesn't match the music often, but this one it kind of does in a groovy sort of way. I'm gonna tell you about these guys out of Jackson, Tennessee, just up the road here. It's a rock act over there. It's a power trio. They're a lot of fun. They've got a great sound to them, and they got a fantastic video to this song we're about to play. The band is called Trash the Brand. We kind of did that here. Trash the Brand is a fantastic band. They put on a really electrifying show too. It's very entertaining. It's a very high energy type thing. But they've got a song. They got a video to this song, and it's wonderful. It's called Larry the Blue Dog, and the video involves this happy go lucky drunken fella who winds up going through all these situations. But it's very clever, very well done. It's a fantastic song. Let's get into it. Larry the Blue Dog. This is Trash the Brand from Radioland.
I should have closed my eyes 3 days ago. I guess it's time I try to bum another cigarette, maybe even try to find a ride home. Cause my head's missing hands, shaking teeth, they can think I'm finally out of control. Cause the medication's got me contemplating conversation like I. Wants to drive. I should have closed the shades 3 days ago. I guess I should have found a better way to get it done than using that aluminum right foil. Oh,
always wants to drive.
Larry and the Blue Dog is the name of the song. Trash the Brand is the band. Go find them. Go get their stuff. I think you'll like it. They're a lot of fun. They do a lot of time out on the road. So, you know, catching up with them sometimes is a little tricky. But they're great, great fellas. We love them to death. And I've seen them live. I went to Jackson to go see them. That's how good they are. So add that to your collection of tunes, if you would please. You've heard what's coming up next week. Yeah, we're going to talk about more about television and just how effed up certain things have become. Thanks to, I don't know, lack of creativity, I suppose. But at any rate, that's all coming up next time. So you've got that, and that's it for now, I guess, huh? Time to get back into the grind. Time to go get some things done. You know, you take a couple of days off, you know, when you're under the weather, and it feels like, well, nothing, of course, gets done. So it just piles up and piles up and piles up. And not only just stuff, but sometimes in my world, drama tends to multiply when I'm not around. It's like a weed in my garden, man. I'm trying to pull them out, you know, keep the drama out. It doesn't happen. God damn, sometimes it's just insane. So at any rate, I got to get back into it and do all that. Man, we'll do it again. We'll see you next week for episode 163. So there's that. Y'all take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and for Christ's sake, stop shooting each other, will you? We'll see you next time. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.